I want to invite you to open up your scriptures to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And you might be wondering, how on earth is he going to pull a Thanksgiving message out of 1 Chronicles? But come with me and I trust you'll find out. But before we read, if you would bow with me in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Thanksgiving morning, our hearts truly are grateful. For as we have just sung, the truest and greatest gift that we could receive, the truest and greatest blessing that we have received, is that of Christ. And so our hearts are overflowing with gratitude for Christ, for his life, his death, his resurrection. And now as we open your word, our hearts are grateful that Christ has become the Word incarnate. That just as he is the true and better Adam, he is also the true and better priest. And as he is the true and better priest, he invites us this morning to take up our priestly role in giving thanks to you. So Father, allow these words to sink deep into our lives. Let them inspire us, change us, and call us to greater gratitude and thanksgiving today. For this we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read together verses 1 through 7 of 1 Chronicles 16, and then we're going to jump over to verse 34. But let's hear what the Spirit says to the church in 1 Chronicles 16. They brought the ark of God and set it in the tent that David had pitched for it. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to extol, thank, and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and next to him in rank were Zechariah, then Yahaziel, Shemarimoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jeiel. They were to play the lyres and harps. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. That day, David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. And then we're gonna skip a chunk there, but if you take note, what that is the majority of that is Psalm 105. Also tying in a few pieces of Psalm 96 is what David commands the priests to use in their worship and in their thanksgiving. But let's jump then to verse 34, where it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." You might say his mercy endures forever, if that little phrase rings a bell from where we've been in the service. "Cry out, save us, God, our Savior. Give us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." Then all the people said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. David left Asaph and his associates before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister there regularly, according to each day's requirement. He also left Obed-Edom and his 68 associates to minister with them. Obed-Edom, son of Jeduthun, and also Hosa were gatekeepers. David left Zadok, the priest, and his fellow priests before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place of Gibeon to present burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly, morning and evening, in accordance with everything written in the law of the Lord, which he had given Israel. With them were Haman and Jeduthun, and the rest of those chosen and designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his love, his mercy, endures forever. Haman and Jeduthun were responsible for the sounding of the trumpets and the cymbals and for the playing of the other instruments for sacred song. The sons of Jeduthun were stationed at the gate. Then all the people left, each for their own home, and David returned home to bless his family. So far, the reading of God's Word. As we get to this passage in Scripture, the story that surrounds it reminds us that it's been over 20 years since the Ark of the Covenant has been in its rightful place in the people of Israel. It's been over 20 years, almost 21 years, the text records, 1 Samuel chapter 3 through 7. It records the account when the Ark of the Covenant was taken from the people of Israel and it was stolen by the Philistines and brought over into Philistine camps. Over 21 years, the Ark of the Covenant has been gone from the central place in Israel's life. Again, just a quick reminder, the Ark of the Covenant was the very sign and seal, the very presence of God among his people, and it was not where it was supposed to be. And when we catch up to our story, we find that the Ark of the Covenant is returning back to its central place, into the tent that David had built for it, but it's had a relatively long journey. You see, Saul's pride lost it. The Philistines couldn't handle it. It actually disrupted their whole society when the ark was in the presence of the Philistines. The priests were the only ones who could carry it, so David himself couldn't even go and get it if he wanted to. And then in a wonderful story of 1 Chronicles 13, 14, and 15, we find David and all of those who are bringing the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, back to its rightful place, are dancing before the Lord with all of their might. They're dancing without a care in the world, and it is an incredible celebration of the ark being brought back into the center of the Israelite community. There's this invitation that we have in front of us this morning to let our thanksgiving deepen. When we remember that the Lord is in the rightful place at the center of it all. And what I want to invite you into this morning, it's a little bit playful, but come with me. I want to invite you to let your thanksgiving deepen by giving your thanksgiving to the band, letting the band take over and lead you in a time of thanksgiving. So give it to the band. That's the title of the message. And I trust by the end of it, we'll have a little bit of fun, and you'll have maybe a soundtrack for your Thanksgiving this afternoon. If you look with me first, there's something new that's reemerging in the passage. And in some regards, what David is doing is he's getting the band back together, if you will. Look with me at verse 37 and verse 40. What's being established is that when the Ark of the Covenant, when the presence of God is being brought back into the center of the story, David gathers Asaph and all of his associates, all those names which I probably butchered as I read it, and which you were thankful you didn't have to read this morning. Those are all of David's associates, right? And they are all Levites. But what David is doing is he's bringing this group back together, and take particular note of how he's talking about it, that they are to minister there regularly. And if you go back and you read that text again, you'll find that word regularly is repeated multiple times in this passage. There's something being restored for David as he's bringing the band back together, as he's putting Asaph in charge of this group, and they're going to minister before the ark regularly. We get a little bit of a taste of what that means in verse 40, where it talks about morning and evening. You see, in those last 21 years, where the ark had been at a distance, the regular practices of thanksgiving, of sacrifice, had been missing in the corporate understanding and in the minds of the people of Israel. And so what David is doing is he's bringing back the band. He's putting this group back together so that morning and evening there are times of thanksgiving and praise happening on behalf of God's people. It's even greater than that as well, though, because David is also beginning to include regular thanksgiving in a way that would only happen in a particular way one time of year. What we discover in this passage is that when David sets Asaph and his associates to minister regularly, he's actually adding thanksgiving into the bigger picture. He's taking things that would only happen maybe at a fellowship offering or the first fruits, the celebration of the first fruits, the harvest celebration, and he's saying this has to become part of the DNA. It has to become part of the vocabulary of God's people. Daily, morning and evening, thanksgiving and praise. It strikes me that we're here on a Thursday, a Thanksgiving. And it's a day where it changes the way we think about life a little bit. And for one particular day, we are grateful. Most of us are grateful, I should say, for our families. I'll just throw that one out there first. We'll get it out of the way. We're grateful for the generosity that the Lord has given. We're grateful for bountiful harvest. We're grateful for good food. We're grateful for homes. And it lands heavy on this day, doesn't it? Our hearts and our minds are focused on a day like today to be grateful. But the invitation that is set out in front of us from David, from this text, is to maybe consider what does it look like? What would happen if we had more regular gratitude? Not just one day where our hearts are kind of tuned towards it, but what would it look like if we had more regular reflection on how the Lord has been present in our life? What would it look like if we cultivated spaces where we are grateful with this same level of intensity in other times and places rather than just a Thanksgiving morning? What would it look like if we had this much cheer and hospitality for other people on any given random Sunday where there was enough food at our tables to feed most of Faith Church at one time? Maybe not, that's a little exaggeration. But what if there was just extra food at our tables all the time and there was with cheer and hospitality a welcoming invitation because of the gratitude that was built right into our hearts from our reflections of the week? See, I trust this is what David is getting at in the hearts and the lives of the people of Israel, and I think it's the invitation of the passage. And the way David is going to do it is he's going to give this responsibility to the band. More on that in just a moment. But I want to invite you to see how this truly is the invitation for us as the people of God. To cultivate in our experience of life a deeper gratitude and a regular sense of gratitude. If you look back to verse 4, what happens here is that David appointed some Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. The Levites, known as the priests, this was established when Israel was kind of being formed together. The people of Aaron, the descendants of Aaron, they were known as the Levites. They became the priestly line, and they had a particular role to lead God's people in worship. And so this is what David does. He gathers these priests. They are the ones that can bring the ark back into the center of the community, and they are also the ones who on a daily basis lead the worship. And he does it in such a way where he has these three words: extol, thank, and praise. And this is, David wants us to be at the heart of what these morning and evening routines of gratitude are all about. And each have a particular place, each have a particular role. To extol is to make great, to hallow the name of the Lord. To celebrate who he is and to be reminded of who we are. And so there is this sense of extolling the Lord, making his name hallowed and glorified and lifting his name high. And then there's this idea of thanks. And remember this in the context of what David is doing. David has now brought the presence of the Lord back to the center of the community, and he says, in this moment, give thanks. Now, David gives thanks for the presence of the Lord with generous gifts to the people. If you notice, he gave every man and woman in Israel a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. That is a generous gift back to the people. But it is based on thanksgiving for the presence of God being center to the people. So this is the work of the priests. Extol and thank and then praise. Praise, as you look at it in the writings of the Old Testament, is about giving credit to God by telling the next generation what God has done. And so this is a pattern that David has. And he sets it in place for the priests. He says, extol the Lord, glorify his name, hallow his name, give thanks that the presence of the Lord is with us, and then praise the name of the Lord. Tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Tell the next generation what God has done and what God is up to. So this is the role of a priest. I want you to take note, Jesus himself is the true and better priest. Jesus himself does this very thing often in his ministry. One particular case, Matthew 11, it says, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father. I thank you, Father, is another way to translate that. Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus, as he goes through his life, acts as the true and better priest. He thanks the Father for his presence. He declares what the Father has done. He makes known. Jesus, as he operates in the priestly role, one of the ways that he goes about that is a heart of thanksgiving. But remember, Jesus also calls us priests. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You see, the invitation for us this morning is to reclaim our priestly role. And that is to give thanks and praise to God. I would encourage you morning and evening. At least regularly. Not one day a year, but to foster the same sense of cheer, the same sense of hospitality, the same heart of generosity and gratitude day in and day out as we follow Christ together. Now, some of you, if you go to Faith Church, you're probably sick of me quoting Jim Wilder by now. I can even fit Jim Wilder into Thanksgiving, so here we go. One of the things I didn't share with you about Jim Wilder and what I read was that there is actually a practice that deepens joy, and it actually deepens connection. And it comes right off the pages of Jim Wilder. He talks about a daily gratitude exercise. He says, if you want to foster joy, and if you want to foster connection in relationship, do a daily gratitude exercise, which is at the end of every day, or at the beginning, however you want to mark your time, spend a few minutes and write down 5 things that you're thankful for each day. And he says, not only will that tune your mind and your heart towards knowing what you're thankful for and focusing on gratitude, but it actually is a process by which we deepen joy and connection with other people. And so maybe that's your next step for today. If you want to live into your priestly role, just simply develop that habit of gratitude, a daily practice of writing down 3 to 5 things that you're just simply grateful for. And you join the priesthood of all believers in regularly giving thanks to God. Now, here's the invitation. Because if you notice what David's doing, he's calling the priests together. He's setting regular gratitude and thanksgiving as part of their practice. But if you notice, the bulk of the text is that David does it by giving that responsibility to the band. Here's what I mean by that. This is verses 5 and 6. This is all those names, all those Levites, all those priests who are given the task of daily gathering the band together and lifting up praise. Asaph was the chief, and next to him in rank were the list of names. And notice what they're doing. They play the lyre, the harps. Asaph was to sound the cymbal, and Benaniah and Jehaziel were to blow the trumpets regularly. These were the instruments of their day, and these were the instruments that were found inside of their corporate worship experience and instruments found inside of their own homes. It's an invitation to play the instrument that you've been given and let song and music draw your hearts towards thanksgiving. It's through song and music that maybe our thanksgiving is to be deepened along the way. And I want to get at that by showing you at least how many places where music itself is truly a marking of time. And music holds us in a place where it shapes our experience and can draw our imagination, our memory, immediately back to the very place we were when we heard the song. I'm going to give you just maybe three experiences to let your heart draw into this experience. How many of you can still remember a song, if you're married, that was played at your wedding? And Paco Bell's Canon Indeed does not count. A few of us. We sang, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And often when I sing that song in any sort of context, that's where my brain goes. If I'm not mistaken, Becky also came down the aisle to the Sound of Music. How do you solve a... No, not how to solve a problem like Maria. I'm right though, right? You came down the aisle to the trumpet fanfare and the Sound of Music. We'll sort that one out later. We did sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness," though, right? Yes. Okay, at least got that one right. Whew. Now I'm really confused. Anyway, so our weddings have it. Paco Bell's Canon in D. It's just a staple at many weddings, right? Now another one. How many of you can remember the high school soundtrack that you played in your car? Doesn't matter your age. Some of it was on 8-track. Some of it was on cassette tape. And if you don't know what those are, ask your grandparents. Some were on CD. But I can still to this day, if a particular song by Green Day or Stone Temple Pilots comes on, I know maybe I shouldn't be quoting that in the pulpit, but that was the soundtrack for my high school experience. And it brings me back immediately to those experiences with friends and the times, the good times that we had. Some of them will even bring me back to crushes that I had in high school. You see what's going on. Music holds this incredible power to gather our hearts to a particular place. Maybe if none of those connected for you, I trust that this one will. Music also has an incredible place to hold us in our times of grief. I've had more than one person tell me that they have a hard time singing "It Is Well With My Soul" because it has been ruined by a funeral. I don't know if it's ever been ruined by a funeral. But what it does as you sing that song is it suspends you in time and it allows you to step back into that very moment when you're sitting in a funeral service and you're remembering not only the loss of one you love, but the grace and the glory of God that met you in that moment. You see, this is what music does. And it makes me wonder if this is what David is doing by inviting the band to take over. By setting into place the songs that will be sung in gratitude and thanksgiving to God, morning and evening, so that when they're away from Jerusalem, when they're out visiting family, when they're not connected to the people of God in a way that maybe they would want to be, the song comes back to mind, and it kind of lifts them out of their body, and it plants them back in that moment. You see, David, as he wants to encourage regular thanksgiving, gives it over to the band. And so I want to leave you with this challenge. I want to invite you to give your thanksgiving to the band. And maybe it's three ways that you can do it. The first, be ready to extol, thank, and praise the Lord. Maybe what you need in the course of your upcoming journey is to write your own music. And by that I mean start that gratitude list. Start that daily practice of 3 to 5 things that you are absolutely thankful for that remind you of the presence of the Lord is with you and leading you and guiding you each day. So maybe you're like Asaph and you're going to start writing your own psalms. Maybe that's what it looks like. Number two, as a family, pick a song. And it's a song that maybe your whole family will have to know, but it's a song that maybe every week you play that song, and it's a song that reminds you of the presence of God and the invitation to a life of gratitude again. One song where when you hear it on the radio as you're driving to work or as you're driving to a sporting event, that the song comes on and the family remembers. That's our giving thanks song. That's the song that reminds us that God is with us. So maybe you'll write your own psalms. Maybe you'll have a family song that when it comes on the radio, it just brings your heart right back to that moment of giving thanks. And maybe if you need a little bit more of a personal journey, another option that you could have, set either your alarm or a ringtone or your text alert on your phone to a particular song. And if you need help with that, ask somebody younger than I am. So, but there's a way in which you can set your ringtone to a particular song, or you can set an alarm on your phone to a particular song, and every day that will kick on. And maybe it's a song that wakes you up in the morning. Maybe it's a song that comes on at 11:45 so that before you rush off to lunch, that song comes on and there's a reminder to simply give thanks. Let the band do the work. See, that's David's invitation to the people of God. And it's the invitation for us this morning to let this gratitude be more than just a one-day thing. Let it be regular. Let it be daily. Let it be led by the band. Let that experience of the songs that gather us and the songs that carry us hold you in the place where your heart is full of gratitude each and every day. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for the gift of your word, but we also give you thanks for the incredible gift of music. Music which has been always part of our journey. And it brings us right back to those moments of memory, of joy, and even your presence in the midst of sorrow. Where it brings back to the center of our hearts, the center of our lives, your presence among us. Just as when the ark came back into the center of your people, they were reminded that you were at the center. Lord, we thank you for that gift of music that keeps our hearts stayed and steady on you. May it deepen in us this growing sense of gratitude. May it deepen in us the cheer and hospitality that we experience today so that it flows out into the rest of our lives. Heavenly Father, today we heed David's invitation and we give it over to the band. Fill our lives with music that teach our hearts to sing. For this we ask, in Jesus' name, amen.